Blog Talk Radio
presents a Plug Radio Show.
How are you? Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton. Tonight we have a special guest, Dr. Annabelle Bugatti, Dr. Bell, and we're going to talk about her new book, Using Relentless. This is a tongue twister for me. I tried so many times to say it today when I was doing the promo. Oh my God. Using Relentless Empathy in the Therapeutic Relationship. So tonight we're going to talk about how empathy is, nobody has it anymore. I don't know why, but we're going to talk about that and how to heal relationships by using empathy, how you get it, and I don't know how we lost it. I don't know where we went wrong, whatever. But anyway, yeah, I'm waiting for Dr. Bell to give us a call in, and I actually just texted. And I received a text, not sure if that was, I sent it to the wrong phone number. I sent it to the landline instead of the cell, you know? But anyway, how is everybody doing? I don't know about you guys on the East Coast, but we are getting slammed here with some heavy, heavy rain. I mean, major, major rain. And I got to say, I kind of like it in a way. I mean, for those who are having a problem with it, with flooding and whatnot, I mean, obviously that's horrible. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's been raining 2 days straight, and I think it's supposed to rain till tomorrow. So, and it's coming down. It is coming down. No heavy winds, thank God. And last night was a little bit of lightning and thunder, and it screwed up that concert in New York. You know, I'm so pissed about that. I didn't know anything about that concert. And what was it? It was the homecoming for New York. And, oh, my God, what a lineup. What a lineup. What a bill. What a bill. I would have loved to have been there. I mean, it was 60,000 people, and you could only go in if you were fully vaccinated, had at least one vaccine. And I believe they tested them as well, or you had to show your card. I have no problem with that, people. I mean, if it's going to make me have fun and live my life, I have no problem with that. I mean, really, Jesus. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We're trying to save people here. We're trying to get back to normal. We need to get back to normal, people. So we need to do that. And sorry, I'm receiving texts for Dr. Bugatti. But anyway, yeah, we could all be doing that. It is summertime after all, and that is what we should be doing. We should be going to concerts. We should be going out having a great time. And, you know, some of us are doing that, but I don't know if they're protected. I don't know. I have no idea. And, you know, I've already said after this is all over, I'm still going to wear a mask. I don't really care. There's some nasty people out there. I love you. I don't know. You know, we don't know what people do behind closed doors and whatever. But, I mean, I literally went to a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and this woman came out of the stall. Didn't even, like, make an attempt to the sink. She just walked right out. It's like, are you kidding me? We're in a pandemic, and you're not going to wash your hands? I mean, I don't touch anything in the bathrooms anyway. But anyway, I was disgusted with that. So anyway, I keep getting text. Hang on one sec, guys. I'm so sorry. But yeah, if you guys are hitting 7, hold on. If you guys are on the East Coast, you know what I'm talking about here with the weather. So anyway, I apologize, guys. I can't talk and text at the same time. I wish I could, but I can't. Bear with me here. Anyway, yeah, but I did enjoy it. Like I said, I was saying, I enjoyed it because it just, it's one of those days where you didn't have to do anything. So it was great. I mean, I did some paperwork, of course, and caught up on a lot of stuff, but what was I going to say? I did some other things and got caught up on things, and which was great. And just listening to the sound of the rain, it was really, really nice to hear. I mean, I'm out here in the studio. I had the door wide open with the screen and everything, and to just listen to it was really cool. So I think we have Dr. Bugatti on the line. So let me, let's see what we have here. Hang on one second, folks. I apologize. Give me a minute. Sometimes it's hard with the time difference and everything. So I believe we have Dr. Bugatti on the phone. Dr. Bugatti, is that you?
Yes, it
All
sure
right.
is.
Everybody, this is Dr. Annabelle Bugatti, Dr. Bell. May I call you Dr. Bell?
Absolutely. Please do.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Bell is, as I was saying earlier, I really didn't get into much because I was talking back and forth, texting and trying to talk at the same time. It wasn't easy. But anyway, yeah. So Dr. Bell, I didn't go into too much detail other than that we were going to talk about your new book, Using this is a tongue twister for me. I keep saying it, Using Relentless Empathy in the Therapeutic Relationship. For relentless, I cannot get out of my mouth. I don't know why. And also Dr. Bell is a PhD in couples therapy, an author, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she's also the host of We Heart Therapy Show. It's a radio show for therapists, EFT Talk. So thank you for joining us, Dr. Bell. I do appreciate it. I have a ton of questions for you. First of all, how are you?
I'm great. How are you this fine evening?
Wonderful. I was just saying, on the East Coast, we're getting slammed with the rain from Henri, the tropical storm, and I'm kind of enjoying it because the sound of the rain is, and you know, it's like a lazy day, you know, where
yeah,
you don't really have to run
absolutely
around going crazy. So I was enjoying that, and
yeah,
but other than that, everything's good. I guess I can't complain. Who'd care? So
yeah,
if we
well,
can
the
complain,
rain is beautiful.
Who give a crap, right? But I have
right?
to ask you now. You've been doing couples therapy. What made you want to write this book, and how does the book relate to what you've been doing over the years with the couples therapy?
Well, what I also do is train other therapists in the model of couples therapy that I use.
Mm.
So the book it was mainly directed towards other clinicians, but I mean, I've had lay counselors, pastoral counselors, nurses, doctors read it. I mean, basically anyone who's got a difficult person in their life.
Mm.
I even had my IT guy read it and he loved it. But I was really kind of disappointed in some of the chatter that I would hear from other professionals on Facebook that just felt very condemning and judgmental. And this isn't like all therapists. This is just, you know, some of the chatter on Facebook. And
yeah,
I just felt a need to help others with their empathy so that they could, you know, better serve their clients, be with people better and connect with them better and, you know, just kind of increase our humanity together.
Right. So the book is it for everyone or just doctors or for couples?
No, everyone can get something out of it. You know, give some basic information about attachment science. And I've had a lot of non-therapists read it who said that they found it really interesting and that they got something out of it. So you don't have to be a therapist to read it. It's not
right
necessarily tailored for, like, you know, couples to help them in their relationship. But if you are in a relationship with someone that's difficult, it certainly can't hurt. And it might give you some avenues to have a little more empathy with the people around you, which is always good for relationships.
Right, right. Well, when did you realize that empathy was as a medical professional, as a therapist or a psychologist, when did you realize that empathy was a major role in healing?
I've always known in emotionally focused therapy, empathy has always been a part of our tool set, our skill set. And Dr. Sue Johnson is the woman who pioneered emotionally focused therapy. She's amazing. She's written like Hold Me Tight, Seven Conversations for Making Love Last, and Love Sense. And she's amazing. And in teaching the model to other therapists, we've always discussed this idea of having relentless empathy, which is in therapy, we've always had the standard teaching that comes from a famous clinician, Carl Rogers, and it was called having unconditional positive regard for the people that come see us. But Sue said, you know, that's kind of more like a mental aspect of relating to people, whereas having relentless empathy is a lot more deeper, and it's the deepest form of understanding you can offer another human being. And, you know, we're all about connection. So,
yeah. Well, that's true. It's one of the major things. Now, what makes people not have empathy for another human being or anything in general? I mean, anything, you know, what makes you not have empathy? I would think it's normal,
it's
natural
easy.
Human thing. It's part of having a heart, you know, having a soul.
Yeah, but when someone else is saying something that's hurtful or that comes across as attacking or something that you feel, you know, vehemently opposes some of your own personal beliefs, it can be easy to get kind of stuck on that and not see underneath that to what's in a person's heart. And so I think it's kind of that getting kind of blocked or obstructed from seeing what's in a person's heart based on what you see on the surface, when what may be on the surface could be kind of a deterrent. But that's where empathy becomes more important, is that, you know, if you get stuck there, then there's a lot of relationship you might miss out of, or there's a lot of, you know, interactions with people that might be very intolerable without empathy. Whereas when you can pierce that veil down to what's in their heart, it's going to make those interactions far more tolerable. And you'll end up being able to shape connection and relationships with people that you never thought possible if you had just stayed with what's on the surface, because you would have kind of dismissed or been like, nope, they're totally different than me, and I don't want any part of that, which you see is a lot of what's happening today, even though people claim to be so tolerant. But they're not tolerant when they're saying, oh, you vote for this person, you're not welcome in my house. You know, that's not tolerant. You know, so families and friends and neighbors and our whole country is just so divided. So it's never been more important to be able to have that relentless empathy for each other.
Now, speaking of that, I mean, when and why do you believe or do you think that people lost empathy? Because I believe we did have it at one time. It's like, what happened?
I think people became far more self-serving and focusing on them and what's right for them. Yes, yes, far more selfish. I think we've become more focused on, as an individualistic society versus collectivistic. Collectivistic, you find cultures that are more focused on community and family and the tribe mentality, whereas the individualistic societies tend to focus more on themselves and what's good for the self and pleasing the self versus, you know, how is, you know, my life intertwined and connected to those around me, and how do we live in connection with each other? So you find this a lot in more postmodern and industrialized nations. But it's, you know, it's not bad to focus on you, but you also don't want to forget the people around you. And it's like the more we focus on ourselves, and I feel like our society's just gotten increasingly more hedonistic. It's all about pleasure. It's all about enjoyment and partying and, you know, max maximizing pleasure, minimizing pain. We don't want to have to work that hard, and let's just, all life should be fun. And if it's not fun, then we shouldn't be doing it. People, like, their tolerance for hard work, for discomfort, for vulnerability has gotten a lot smaller. People have focused more on, yeah, let's just not do anything uncomfortable, and the rest of life should just be a party.
Right, so. Right. Well, I remember we, you know, there was a time when we had, I'm doing finger quotes here, air quotes, when we had that the me generation, but it was nothing like this. It was a totally different meaning at the time when we had that me movement.
Yeah.
You remember it was the me movement? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. What was it? Was the 70s or 80s? I don't even remember, but I remember it.
Probably the
80s. But it was nothing like this. Nothing like this.
Yeah.
Not, it was totally
absolutely
different, you know, but now I got it. I was reading, I looked at your website, and I saw that you actually go into businesses and do teachings. What would constitute you having to go into a business and do teachings on how people, explain that to me. Cause I'm in the business gig during the day, and I'm curious to know, what would make you have to get involved and go help a company out? If you could give us a sample
of
what you've been called in for.
Yeah, well, a lot of companies, like their CEOs or their directors, will bring me in to do workshops on how to improve the work environment. It kind of depends on if they're having me do a workshop for the employees or for the management team. It's extremely helpful for the management team to learn how they can better understand and connect to difficult employees. And I kind of teach them about the cycles of interaction that people can get stuck into, particularly in the business environment. And again, I teach them that bit about attachment science so they understand a little bit more about how people function. And then it's a lot easier for them to understand why their employees act or react the way that they do and why they behave the way they do in the workplace and how to reach them and how to create change in a more meaningful way without it going into the toxic work environment type of scenario.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude, but shouldn't they just be fired if they're not playing, playing well in the playground? I mean,
That's kind of like more along the terms of what we're doing in general society, is that if somebody's difficult, we just cancel the relationship. And it's very expensive for companies to have high turnover and just fire people and have to hire and train someone new. And I mean, do all people, just because they're a little difficult, deserve to just be fired? I mean, a lot of people aren't trying to be difficult, but they're trying to be understood. They're trying to be heard, and they may not have the people skills or the emotional skills to communicate that effectively. And the managers may not have the people skills or the emotional
effectively. I just, there are rules to at a job, there are rules to adhere to. So, I mean, I don't go into work and say,
that's part of the problem, is that a lot of places don't have really good, clearly defined employee conflict or resolution
that
strategies. And so it's very much, it's very much of a gray area. And when you genuinely are trying to help someone, and it comes to a lot of it is you have leaders who have been promoted into leadership positions that don't necessarily have leadership skills. They just put their time and dues in, or they have maybe like the business skills that come from whatever trade they're in, but again, they may not necessarily have leadership skills. And so you put them in a leadership position and they may not have good people skills, and yet they're supposed to be able to mitigate maybe employee conflict or help with difficult employee feedback and help employees grow and change, and yet they don't know how to have those conversations. So they end up kind of being more passive and conflict averse, or even just averse of having difficult conversations. So then some employees aren't given the opportunity or the conversations that need to be having to help that employee grow and acquire the skills that they need. So, it's, It's a really fabulous type of workshop that I do, and it's
been so
beneficial.
Do you do a lot of those? Are you called in for a lot of those?
Yeah, I mean, it ebbs and flows like any other business. You have seasons, so. But I'm always excited and looking forward to doing those workshops. So.
Right. Now, I jumped ahead because that was driving me crazy. I had to know why you would have to be called into an office. I've worked for huge companies in New York City, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't be tolerated.
Yeah.
You know, there's rules. So. You know.
Oh yeah, I mean, New York is pretty cut and dry, but a lot of companies, like I said, don't have those really clearly defined set of rules. So employees don't know, employee behavior isn't exactly laid out in a measurable type of way. So the managers don't know when the employee is or isn't meeting up to it. And the employees don't know what it means to measure up to it. And, again, instead of giving them valuable feedback and helping them adjust and change, it may be like, let's just make it so uncomfortable that that employee just leaves. But again, that really affects the business's bottom line. So,
It actually
does well for the environment. Or if you have just an employee who just has a demeanor about them that just feels toxic, even though they may be, good at the trade that you're offering, and they may be affecting the employees around them. But again, maybe you have a manager who's more conflict averse and is afraid to have those conversations.
Yeah.
So they don't intervene the way that they should. So it really helps a lot of places clean up the toxic work environments, which has a major impact on employee productivity, turnover, employee retention and loyalty. So,
I get it. Now, I don't know if you could even answer this without giving away the book, but how do you teach someone to have empathy? I mean, this is something you're either instilled in you or in your or it's in your heart, so how do you teach somebody that?
Well, you would think that it's already something that's in your heart, and it is for a lot of people, but a lot of people are not taught emotional skills, and our society really sends a lot of mixed signals. Like, we don't want to be robots, but then we're running around telling everyone you need to actively avoid and suppress your emotions and don't be emotional, even though that's virtually impossible because our emotions live in our nervous system. So it's really about teaching people how to lean into their emotions in a healthy way so they can glean the information and then use that in service of relationships. And teaching people about attachment helps you understand far better than any other science out there what's really in the heart of other people. It teaches you how to see below the surface into what's in people's heart. And that's really the key to having empathy, is when you cannot get stuck on what's on the surface and recognize what's in somebody's heart and what would cause somebody to behave in that way. It's so much easier to get below what's on the surface when you see it and like, oh, I know where that comes from. Now I can go into that person's heart, and it's so much easier for me, and I'm more willing to do it. And then I can connect with that person. That person feels like someone else actually cares and gets them. And then they're more likely to diffuse and calm down. Then you can have a different conversation. And it was really like the last chapter was really where, so the whole book, I kind of lay out the attachment science. I talk about different types of difficult people in a way that helps others have empathy. And the last one is how to apply it to yourself. Because, as a therapist or a CEO or a nurse or a doctor, it's easier to tell everyone else how they should do this, to the people that come to them or to their employees or whoever. But when it's you who's in the relationship and somebody's behaving that way towards you, or maybe you are the difficult person in someone else's life, so it's really about how to apply all of the principles to yourself, how to walk the talk. And this came up when, you've probably witnessed all this on social media and Facebook with all the political stuff. I would have mentors during.
I've been a part of it.
Yeah,
I've been attacked.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. I mean, like, you
from
play
people,
devil's advocate,
the crazy thing, Dr. Bell, honestly, it's mm-hmm. it's friends and family that I would never mm-hmm. think would react this mm-hmm. way, and I just don't understand it.
Absolutely. And so I would have like mentors on Facebook who were putting stuff out there that seemed so different from what we teach in the model counseling that we use, and these are like trainers in the model, and it just felt so judgmental and dogmatic and just very shocking how extreme it felt. And I thought, you know, this is somebody that is a mentor that I need to maintain a relationship with for a business, and I really liked them, but now I'm hearing these things and seeing this other type of behavior from them, which is really causing me to question who they are and, you know, their ability to accurately teach if they can't walk the talk. And so I thought, okay, rather than pointing the finger at them, let me see if I can just apply these principles and step into it and see if I can figure out what's underneath it. And I was able to do that and ended up having some really meaningful conversations with those mentors that I would have never otherwise had, and finding out that underneath, both of us have very similar experiences and backgrounds, even though on the surface we may fundamentally differ in how these things should play out. You know, finding out that at least in our heart of hearts we both want the same thing was made it so much easier for me to kind of relax and accept where they were coming from, and just kind of like, okay, that's, you know, their way of expressing it and it doesn't work for me, but at least I know it's in their heart and I know they're not a bad person. And, you know, so it ended up being really amazing, and I learned things about them that I would have never otherwise known and yeah. might not have otherwise gotten to know had I just been like, well, look at the way you're acting or behaving and that's hurtful. And, you know, I don't think I can work with you anymore.
Right.
That would have been
And for the book, where did you gather your information? Did you interview people, or was it based on experiences you've had with clients or over your radio show?
Yeah, all of the above, just the culmination of what I would see from therapists on social media, with conversations with other professionals, research that I've done, experience with clients. I write a lot about some of my experiences with clients throughout the book. I think a good author is going to try to get their information from a variety of sources and have
it be
well-rounded.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to go for.
Right. Now, how do you say, there's some questions here that I'm supposed to touch on. I'm sorry, everything we've been talking about is stuff that was curious to me. So, is this a section in the book, how to say what you mean what you say?
That is definitely a part of my book. This is a very difficult skill that I find most people don't have. It sounds easy, but, you know, from being a therapist, I find that most people don't actually say what they mean. They say some spin or some slice of what they actually mean, and they hope that people get what they mean. And I find this also comes because being very direct can be very vulnerable, and it puts how you really feel out there, no sugarcoating it. And not even necessarily in like a hurtful kind of way, just in a very direct way. Whereas if people reject it, then you don't have the ability to rationalize it out or justify it off somehow. It's like, oh no, I put that out there and they outright rejected it, which feels pretty bad. You know, so I think people tend to spin what they mean as a way to protect their own vulnerability, but then they often expect people to get what they really mean in their vulnerability. And when people react the way that they do, they kind of take it as reinforcement of, see, I shouldn't be vulnerable because look at how they're reacting. Yet the people aren't reacting to your vulnerability because they're not getting it. They're getting this other slice of it, and they're reacting to the meaning that they have of the version you spun to them, not
right.
the real meaning that's there.
Right.
Right.
Now, is it true that you can be an empath but not have empathy? How is that possible?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, because being an empath just means you feel the emotions around you of other people. It doesn't mean you're actually using what you're feeling in service of the relationship. And
right.
Most empaths, when they feel the emotion, they're absorbing it and taking it on themselves. So then they get weighed down and exhausted. And when you're exhausted and weighed down, you're not able to have empathy for other people because you've just taken on their emotions as your own problem to solve. And it lowers your capacity. So being an empath is more like being a sponge, whereas having an empathy is more like being a mirror where somebody's emotion comes to you. It may channel through you, but then it bounces through you back out to that other person because it's always in service of them in the relationship. It is not yours to take on as your own. It is just like you're a prism, or, you know, it's like refraction with a mirror. Their emotion comes to you, channels through you, and bounces back towards them because it is in service of the relationship, feeling with them. So you're channeling an emotional muscle memory that knows what it's like to feel the emotion that they're going through without it becoming about you. Empathy is always about in service of the other person, the other relationship. It's the deepest form of emotional understanding you can offer another person. But if you're feeling their emotion and it's weighing you down, that becomes about you, not about them.
Right. Yeah. No, I could see that if you've exhausted yourself over what they're going through, you're not going to have the energy to feel it for them. I get it. I get it. Yep. I totally get what you're saying. I don't know. I've never experienced it, but you know, I guess that's happening. You know, I guess that's happening.
Yeah.
So now you also do some speaking engagements. Then I would gather it's all. Is it just around the empathy, or is it other topics?
Oh no. Oh, I do all kinds of topics. And in fact, one of my most recent topics that I'm trying to get out there is teaching couples about healthy sexuality, especially religious couples, because I grew up in the church and I know how ill-informed people in the church are and how, unfortunately, religion creates a lot of shame around sex. So couples get married and they don't have the tools to talk about sex. And then there's a lot of shame and guilt around it, which then causes couples to not talk about it, not explore it together. And that just really closes off a lot of opportunity for a healthy sexual relationship between two people who are in love. And so, you know, my talk is really to help re-educate them about the gift of sex from God and how to allow people to talk about it in a way that, you know, destigmatizes it and opens up much more doors for comfort in having discussions around it, kind of freeing them from all those chains that kind of hold them back so they can actually have. Because I find especially, too, a lot of women get these bad messages about sex from religion, that it's just for a man, it's just a chore that women do for the men. And so I have a lot of female clients who just, they don't get anything out of sex. And it's like their body goes through it, but they emotionally check out of it and they're not enjoying it. They're not getting anything out of it. So then of course they don't want to do it because they're just doing it to appease their partner.
Right.
But then their partner doesn't end up enjoying it as much because they know that their spouse is just laying there and just doing it to appease them. And they want to know that their partner gets something out of it, that they have the ability to have their partner enjoy something and cause them pleasure and help them feel good with their body.
Yeah,
it's very important.
Yeah. Cause you lose that connection then, the real connection of what it's all about. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
and in so many women, it's like pulling teeth to get them to want to have sex. And it's like, wouldn't it be better if sex wasn't like a chore and it was actually something you wanted to do?
Enjoyed.
But if you dread it.
Right.
If you dread it, then you're never going to want to do it. And then whenever your partner initiates, it's going to be like, Okay, fine. And then you just end up laying there, and then you feel used because you're, like I said, you're just putting your body through the process while you emotionally check out, and you're thinking about, can we just get this over? What's on TV? What am I going to cook for dinner this week?
Right.
And
right.
if you're just putting your body through the process, of course your partner's just using your body because you're not
right.
actively emotionally engaging in the process and allowing yourself mm-hmm. to enjoy it and get anything out of it.
Mm. So let me ask you this, based off of everything you've learned and put into not just the book, but in your I would guess your therapy sessions, how couples have you kind of prevented from actually getting divorced? And not an exact number, obviously, it's probably very high, I'm thinking.
How many couples have I helped prevent
from
getting divorced?
Yeah, when you bring up the fact that, you know, you're not being empathetic to your partner. And, you know, you show them the way. You show them the way, mm-hmm. to, you know, with your teachings
yeah.
that you have in the book.
I've never actually calculated it. So
well, just a guesstimate.
It really depends on the, oh, gosh. I'm not sure because there are couples who actually do come to me to help them get divorced. So not every couple that comes to me wants their relationship saved, but they're coming to me because they
wait.
Want it. Yeah.
I thought, mm-hmm. oh, no. I apologize. I thought, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I thought you would help people not get divorced. I read that wrong.
Oh,
wrong.
I do.
Okay.
I do help couples not get divorced.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
couples that come to me that are either unsure about the relationship is in distress, but they, you know, want to find a way to work it out together. But there are couples who do come to me knowing that they do want to get a divorce, but they're coming to me so they can kind of deal with the baggage and learn how to divorce amicably, especially
Got
if there's
it.
Children involved, so
yeah,
they can
yeah.
have a good co-parenting relationship.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, which is also very healthy. I wish more couples would do that.
Yeah.
But they're
yeah.
not kind of emotionally beating each other up through the divorce process, which really hurts the kids and the family. But,
exactly.
You know, if a couple comes to me and they're not unsure or they want to save the relationship, I mean, most of those couples, I've been able to help from getting a divorce. And it's really amazing, you know, even when
yeah.
couples come in and they're like, I don't have a lot of hope for how this can get better. It's
right.
really... It's so fulfilling and so touching and such a blessing to be a part of their healing journey,
right.
to have that hope restored, to have
right.
that couple get back into connection. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's got to feel great. It's got to. That's why I was curious to know if it was a large number or not. Now, do you find that with COVID, or I shouldn't say with COVID, but with the last like 2 years, your client base has gone up, or pretty much stayed
I mean,
the same?
I'm pretty busy anyway, so I guess I'm thankful that it didn't waver during COVID. So
yeah.
I guess, you know, I mean, I have a wait list for my practice right now anyway, and it's kind of been the way it's been for a couple of years, thankfully. But you know, luckily as things have gotten kind of scary in society and pop culture with all this, that people are still seeking therapy, and in fact maybe more folks that might not have otherwise considered therapy have been more open to it, which is really awesome. So and you've had your fair share of people who, now that they are kind of in quarantine or being forced to stay at home, they're now locked in together and facing issues that they've been running away from that
right,
they can't
right.
outrun anymore.
Right. Now, when you were going to school to get your PhD, was this what you intended to do, or what were you doing prior to this?
Yeah, I mean, I got my master's before my PhD, so I've been working with couples, and the plan was always to work with couples,
nice.
But,
okay.
you know, getting the PhD, you know, I felt it was a personal goal that I set for myself. I like to achieve the highest that I can, eliminate any glass ceilings that could be over my head, you know, in case I want to teach. And I've taught college courses here and there. And also knowing that I wanted to write books, it just felt like maybe it would offer some more credibility.
Right.
So,
Right. Now on your talk show, We Heart Therapy, tell us what you guys talk about there and where can people listen and when can they listen? When can they tune in?
Yeah, so you can find We Heart Therapy wherever podcasts are available as well as on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go to YouTube and type in We Heart Therapy, and I have series available for the public. It's like I have one called Your Guide to Therapy and Coaching, where I interview lots of different types of therapists about different types of therapy so that
mm-hmm.
folks can kind of understand when they
mm-hmm.
see a therapist saying, I specialize in this or I do this kind of therapy, what do all those things mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have series that are for other therapists where I really talk about EFT and the skills involved in EFT and how to help therapists learning EFT be better and more effective. And I've had a lot of potential clients see those videos and contact me. They're like, we learned about EFT from watching your series. Even though we're not therapists, we found it interesting and we think that we want to do EFT. So, you know, hook us up. So
no, now part of my ignorance, what is EFT?
That is emotionally focused therapy, and it was pioneered by Dr. Sue Johnson. As I mentioned, she was the woman who wrote Love Sense and Hold Me Tight. And, you know, in EFT, we have a saying that EFT gets to the heart of the matter faster and more effectively than any other model of counseling out there. And I really do love EFT. It was life-changing for me as a person and for me as a clinician. It felt like it was a model of counseling that offered hope. It offers a roadmap, and I've been through some terrible marriage counseling myself. When I was in my master's program, I went through some marriage counseling with my ex-husband, and we had some terrible, terrible marriage counseling. And I thought, I do not want to offer couples this. Like, I want to actually help.
Right.
I mean, we had a therapist, and in New York, there's lots of different styles, but we had a therapist who actually came to our apartment. And she basically just like let us go at each other, you know, kind of getting in this fight. We went way over time. She didn't intervene. She didn't organize what was happening and help us make sense of it. She just let us fight basically for over the time. And then she was like, y'all just need to think positively. Remember what brought you two together? And I'm like, are you nuts, lady? Like, what the heck? So, yeah, I mean, that doesn't give you any tools about like the actual stuff going on in our relationship, and thinking of the positive stuff doesn't help us deal with the negative stuff. Like, we need to be able to learn how to face these negative stuff and work through it. And you're not helping us work through it. So, I just wanted to offer couples something that actually worked and was effective and has a plan. And, you know, with EFT, we actually, you know, try to help couples become independent on their own. Like, we're not looking for forever clients. We actually want to help you get better so that, you know, I tell my clients, it's like the training wheels, and the goal is eventually the training wheels are going to come off and you two are going to ride off into the sunset of an amazing relationship and not need a therapist forever to maintain it.
Knowing what you know now with especially the empathy and everything, how involved you are with that. And, and like you just said about the therapist, your first husband, I know you're happily married now. Do you ever wish that you had gone to somebody like you when you were in the middle of your divorce? And do you think you may still be together if you had seen somebody like you who was an actual real therapist that really cared and tried to help people and you know?
I can definitely say that, like, my family and close friends who have experienced distress in their relationship when they've really learned about EFT from me, they're like, man, I wish we had this earlier in our lives. You know, with my ex, unfortunately, he was a little blocked from doing his own work. And just because I became a therapist, I mean, I grew exponentially and learned, you know, a lot of good skills. But then when I tried to use those skills to help the relationship, my partner was like, nope, don't want to hear it. And so it's like, okay,
because
I know nothing, clearly.
Right.
You know, and it was really hard. I put more pressure on myself as a therapist to
make it work, right?
You know, stay in the marriage. And I literally have peace that I tried everything I could. I used all the skills that I learned. But if you have a partner who's unwilling to meet you in that work, I can't force them to do the work.
Right.
So what am I supposed to do? Just stay in an unhappy marriage? Is that what I would, you know, advise a client or help a client with
right.
if their partner doesn't want to work on it and they're
right.
kind of like dying on the inside?
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
I guess
you say, yeah, just keep dying.
Yeah, I guess there's just lost causes. There's no point in even trying to attempt it. It's, you know, you can't, it's not going to work, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends. Like, some people are comfortable just staying in a dead marriage because it's easier and then taking the risk of going out on their own and getting their own place and doing life on their own, which
right.
can be very scary depending on the age. Or, you know, really any age, it can be hard starting over. But, you know, when your life is so intertwined, it can feel just far more scary and problematic to unhook your life and go your own way. And so some people, you know, even though they're unhappy, they think unhooking their life and going their own way would be worse. So I guess it's the lesser of two evils. And other
right.
people try that strategy for a little while, and then they just realize, you know what, actually, this is so miserable. I'm not getting my needs met. My partner's unwilling to even go to therapy or...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not willing to even hear what I
Nothing's
need or entertain it or go there. So it's like now it's to the point where I think I would actually be happier on my own. Because if I'm going to be alone, it's better to be alone by myself than to be alone in a relationship where it's like that dangling carrot in front of you that should be connection, but it's always just out of reach, which really
right.
sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Can suck, but at least, you know, when you're single, you have the opportunity to find another healthy partner who's willing to put equally into the relationship, you know, or give their relationship 100% effort versus, you know, being in a relationship where you're the one giving 100% effort and you have a partner who's not willing to put in 100% effort. So it really depends on the person.
Right.
But
Now, Do you think if somebody is having issues in their marriage right now and, you know, is struggling with what to do, should they get the book first and then consider counseling or vice versa or both at the same time?
Both at the same time. I mean, my book isn't necessarily going to cause them to suddenly like want to work on their marriage. It's not going to be a magic pill. I mean, they could learn some things. If anything, it'll help them with their general relationships. But if
yeah.
they're struggling with their relationship, they should just get therapy and absolutely
yeah.
ask their partner. I think some people think their partners won't be open to it. And maybe they just kind of put it out there, but they don't end up quite telling their partner how deeply disconnected they really are on the inside. So when they say,
right.
hey, would you be willing to go to therapy? The other partner has no idea that you are deeply unhappy and considering leaving the marriage. So you need to like really have an honest come to Jesus moment with your partner, say,
right.
look, this is really bad. And, you know, we need to go to therapy. And if you're not willing to go to therapy, then maybe we need to figure out what we're doing here. So,
right.
Yeah, but either way,
yeah.
going to therapy, I think, can just benefit anybody. But find a good EFT therapist, emotionally focused therapy. You can Google it. There's a website, iceft.com, iceeft.com. And no matter where you are on the globe, actually, there's a drop down on there to find a therapist. You can type in your city, your state, your zip code, your country, and it will help you find an EFT therapist in your area. So,
right. Now I know you have
EFT is the gold standard, so
yeah.
it's proven to be the most effective. Use
well,
what works.
Exactly. As I was going to say, if it works, go with it. If it ain't broke, don't fix
yeah.
it. And if it is, get EFT.
Yes, exactly.
Now I know you said you had a long wait list, but you are located in Vegas, yes?
Yes, I am in Vegas, and lots of couples in distress, but I also do intensives for couples. So even if you're from another state, you can always fly into Vegas for a couple days, do 2 days of intensive therapy. It can be really good for couples to kind of get away, get out of their area, and do some intensive therapy. So yeah, that's always an option too.
Now, this is a totally off-the-wall question. Since you're in Vegas, are a lot of your clients, you could get a lot of clients because of the gambling?
Well, not necessarily gambling per se, but Vegas in general tends to cater to vices, and it doesn't really stimulate a lot of hard work and long-term growth. It's more instant gratification and a lot of addiction in a variety of ways because you have all the sex clubs, the strip clubs, drinking, smoking, you know, marijuana is legal here. On top of that, gambling. So, but I have a lot of people who have jobs as professional gamblers. And so it's like their addiction kind of hides in plain sight. And because it's their quote unquote job, they think it's not an addiction. They tend to dismiss it, even though they might be engaging in unhealthy and risky behavior associated with it. Because I know the ones that are professional poker players that are not, that don't have the addiction, they have healthy boundaries, they're able to draw those boundaries, they're not risking their life, they're not chasing it. It's like, I have my designated amount that is okay to work with, and when that's gone, then it's gone, and I'm not going to, like, mortgage my house for it, and, you know, I'm not going to ride this emotional roller coaster,
right.
But also, professional poker players also are trained on how to disguise their emotions, which is really hard in personal relationships.
Right. Well, real quick, because I know it's getting late. So real quick, run us through the book quickly. It starts out saying people have a problem. This is where we go. Like, give us a step of how the chapters roll out.
So the chapters start out discussing the basics of attachment science, what we know, what's important to know, and it basically teaches you how humans function and why they do the things that they do. And so that chapter is really super key, and the rest of the book just kind of rolls out. Then I teach you about empathy, and then I talk about the different types of difficult people that we encounter, at least in my profession, and that's just based on what most common therapist chatter is, which most mental health professionals would say are the most challenging types of clients they run into. And I talk about a few different types in a way that teaches you how to understand them more through the attachment lens, how to have more empathy for them. And then the last, each section gives some personal questions for the person reading it to kind of examine their own beliefs and their own feelings, their own heart, and how to, you know, put that back into the work that they do. I teach a lot about empathy, how you can hone it as a skill, because like I said, not a lot of people have been taught good emotional skills or what to do with empathy. So, you know, I teach it that just like anything else, you may have it as a basic feeling on the inside, but it can also be honed as a skill. So I teach it as a pro relationship building skill. And then the last chapter talks about how to walk the talk and apply it to yourself.
There you go. It sounds great. Yeah. Where can everybody get the book?
Amazon.com, or you can find it on my website, drbelle.com, drbelle.com, or you can just go on Amazon and type in the Amazon search bar, Relentless Empathy. And it'll be probably the second book that comes up. It's got a black and white cover with me making my hands in the shape of a heart.
Oh, nice. Now, any other books coming down the pipeline anytime soon, or just getting this one out of your system?
I just launched this one, so I'm still in the process of promoting this, but I have quite a few books that I want to write. So my next project is to decide, is to prioritize which one should come next. But I'm really eager to write about leadership, to talk about, I want to write a book about starter marriages, because I feel like a lot of people have first marriages, and kind of teaching them the lessons that, talking about the lessons you can learn from that so that you can go on to have more successful relationships. And I want to write a book for those that feel like they're kind of called for more, but don't really understand what that looks like, and they have a hard time expressing what that sensation is like to other people who maybe don't feel like they're called for leadership, or that they're not necessarily called for some, because some people are happy, like just going to work, making their money, and you know, having playtime on weekends. But other people know that they were just meant for something great. and or something bigger, even though they may not know what that is. So, and I have quite a few clients like that, and they have a hard time, you know, relating. They feel kind of alienated from others, and it's like the shepherds and the sheep. So it's kind of like a book written to the shepherds, because it can be a very lonely calling. So,
Yeah, that one sounds really good. That one sounds like something I need to get my hands on, actually.
Yeah, so I think that's the one I'm leaning on writing the most, the next, so.
Yeah. Oh, when we were talking about your radio show, you didn't mention the time and date when people can check it out.
Oh, it's just ongoing. It's more of a podcast format, so people can tune in at their convenience and listen to it at any time.
Cool. Very nice. Well, Dr. Bell, anything else? Where can, other than your website, where can people get in touch with you or find out more about you? I mean, we know the book is at Amazon, and we can go to your website to see, or YouTube. What are you listed at as on YouTube?
Yeah.
What is it on
YouTube?
YouTube is We Heart Therapy. Oh, same thing. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
yeah, My website is drbell.com, and then you can find me on social media either at Dr. Bell or at Dr. Annabelle Bugatti. So whichever one.
And that's Bell, B-E-L-L-E, folks, not B-E-L-L.
Yes,
you can ring it. You can ring it, but it's B-E-L-L-E.
Yes, absolutely. B-E-L-L-E.
Yes. Well, oh my God, Dr. Bell, thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you, and thank you so much for the conversation. I love interesting conversation, and it definitely was, and I appreciate it. I wish you the best with the book and the other books. I'm sure they're going to do great. They're probably doing great. The one for the clients, it's the same thing pretty much. It's using relentless empathy to connect with challenging and difficult clients.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that we have been talking about is using relentless empathy in the therapy. Well, we've been talking about both, actually. Pardon me.
It's the same book. It's just one book.
Okay. I thought it was two books. But you have two books out. So what was the first book?
The first book is actually a self-help writing book for college students.
You're kidding.
It's called Basic Academic and Professional Writing with APA Format.
Very nice.
That was not as exciting, but I had a lot of students who graduated from high school and don't really know the difference, like how their writing kind of needs to be kicked up to the next level for academic writing on the college level, or a lot of folks that are returning to college after being away for some time. So it just kind of gives people a basics to how to write more professionally and in an academic tone. So,
right. Well, great. Excellent. Well, folks, thank you, Dr. Annabelle Bugatti. Dr. Bell, thank you so much. She is a PhD in couples therapy, licensed marriage and family therapist. Let's not forget an author, and also the host of We Heart Therapy radio show for therapists with EFT Talk. And go check it out on it's available on any podcast, YouTube, her website, you're going to kill me. Is it drbell.com?
And Dr. Annabelle Bugatti. Dr. Bell.com. My website is drbell.com, drbell.com.
Yes. I apologize. I'm sorry. I told you this is a mouthful for me, especially at this time of night. For some reason, when I was doing the promo, I don't know if you saw it. I sent it to you on Instagram. And every time I tried to say using relentless empathy, I was like, relentless. I kept saying ness. I don't know, instead of less. I was like, oh. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much. It was a great conversation. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And Yeah, I'm waiting for that other book to come out. You got to let me know when that one comes out. I got to know about that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. And thank you so much to your listeners for their time. And it's been a delight to be talking with you tonight.
Oh, thank you. And folks, just go in. If you need Dr. Bell or God, if you need some empathy, get some empathy. We need empathy, people. Please, please. Something's got to fix. What's going to fix this mess, Annabelle? Tell me.
Empathy, relentless empathy.
That's what I thought. I knew you were going to say that. So, all right. Thank you, Dr. Annabelle Bugatti. Dr. Bell, thank you so much. What a pleasure. And good luck. Good luck. And I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it. Have a wonderful night.
You there. Thank you so much. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're
bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you, I she's right that, you know, people... I don't know what happened. We used to care about each other. Nobody, it is the me generation. And back in the day, there was something called the me generation, and it had nothing to do with this me generation. I got to look it up, what that me generation meant at the time. I think it has nothing to do with this. And then we had the Me Too movement, which has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on, obviously. Right now, it's just a bunch of selfish people, and that's what's happening. So anyway, what a great conversation and a pleasure to speak with Annabelle, Dr. Bell. And she's very young to be seasoned. You know, sorry, I was reading as a, you know, I can't do two things at once, people. You know that. Come on. Anyway, we had a great show yesterday with Juliet Mills from Nanny and the Professor. And I love her. I love her. I love her. She's so sweet. And I'm looking forward to having Alex Angel will be back on the 25th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. So if you missed your free psychic reading with Dr. Alex, well, she may as well be a doctor. She heals people too. With Alex Angel, she's really, really good. And everyone who has called and gotten a reading from Alex always says, oh my God. You know, I mean, she's just so on the money and a cool, cool person. My God. That's what I like about her. She's cool. She's real. And we have a lot of great psychics on the show, and we'll continue to have a lot of great psychics on the show. Anything. I know you guys love that. So I love it myself personally. So, I figured, you know, just trying to make you guys happy out there. So, again, Alex Angel on the 25th at 9:30 for your free psychic readings. If you've missed the last two shows, she did a special engagement with us for the month of August, which was extremely kind of her. And the 26th is Steve Peters is going to be joining us at 9:30. And Steve is an AIDS activist, and he was actually interviewed by Tammy Faye when, I guess, when was it? The '80s, the AIDS epidemic. I don't know when it was. I think it was the '80s. Yeah, the '80s was the AIDS epidemic. And Tammy Faye Baker actually interviewed him when it was taboo to even go near someone with AIDS, which was absolutely farcical, ridiculous, and you know, you couldn't catch it that way. You can't catch it that way, whatever. You know, and hey, AIDS has come a long way, thank God. Thank you to Dr. Fauci. Yeah, Dr. Fauci. He helped with that, folks, for those of you who don't know. Anyway, there's a new movie out called The Eyes of Tammy Faye. It's coming out. And I believe they're going to have in there the moment when Tammy Faye did the interview with Steve. So we're going to talk to him about all that. We'll be booking for September soon. And I hope you guys all are okay with our new schedule. We're probably, for a while anyway, not going to have any shows the first week of the month and the last week of the month. Just for... to help make life easier for me, my guests, listeners, everybody, for everybody. And we've got some great stuff going on, though, too. We've got our YouTube channel will be up very soon. You're going to see a bunch of stuff there, stuff that you wouldn't hear on the show. As I said, I'm not political here. I try not to be political, but I am not political. What I talk about is moral, and what is morally and ethically right and wrong is what I'm talking about. It's not political. And we've got some great new advertisers too. Where is my, I got to get up. Oh boy. Hang on, folks. Sorry about that. Sorry about that noise. You know, I can't help it. I can't help it. I apologize. Okay. Where it is? Where is it? It is in this pile of paper. Here we go. All right. We haven't talked about our advertisers in a while, so let me just say thank you so much to our sponsors. The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey. The food is delicious. Drinks are phenomenal. KWV Wines in South Africa. Great wine. It's delicious. I have a ton of it. I don't have a ton of it, but I don't drink really. But when I do have a little wine, I open up a bottle. And very good, very good wine. And Tees for the Times and other stuff, which is has T-shirts of the current times. And they're actually available on our website at israelo.com. Syntech Productions in Oka Harbor, New Jersey, for all your audio needs, recording, that's a music studio, so whatever you need there. I'm getting tired, folks, I apologize. Take a Break from Cancer.org, for Pete's sake. What a great organization. They help cancer patients and their families go on a rest and forget the world for a week with a free vacation, and just to try and let them get away from what they've been going through between hospitals, being sick, and a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful organization. Cloison Designs in New Jersey. If you like my website, you'll like Cloison Designs. They're great. They're great. Think Big Picture LLC in New York for publicists, and the Observer newspaper in Kearny, New Jersey. I'm hoping to get you guys an article soon. Just been a lot going on. And Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. They got the best hot dogs you want to get, and a great little outdoor seating area. It's really cool. It's really retro. I love it. I love it. GenieBottles.com, if you ever wanted to own an I Dream of Genie bottle, GenieBottles.com. They're gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. H21 hand sanitizer. And here goes the list. Where's the long list? Oh, this isn't the long list with all the new folks on it. Oh, no. That's the short list. That's the short list, Joe. That's the short list. Come on. I had it written right here. There's too much paper in here. God forbid a spark should fly. There is too much paper in here. You know what? It's down deep. I don't know where it is, and I don't want to keep you guys. So I hope you all had a great, great weekend. And again, we're going to be getting more rain here tomorrow. Kind of sucks, but again, it makes the day. It's a nice lady day, relaxing, soothing, nice, relaxing, soothing day. Not work-wise, but mentally, it's just quiet, and it's nice. It's nice. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the shows this month. We've got two more coming up for the month of August. September, I'm going to come back and kick your asses. I really am. I'm going to get some great guests for you guys. I got to get some more musicians on the show. I love talking to the musicians, so I'm playing new music. I love that. I was thinking about doing an evening of playing my favorite dance songs, club songs, when I used to go out to the club, and doing an evening of just playing some of those for you guys. What else? We were going to do the trivia night, And my buddy, he got sick, and I got busy, and I never got a chance to get back to him. I have to ask if he's still interested in doing that. So, you know, we've got a lot of prizes here, guys. All you got to do is call in to win. And 646-478-0999. We've got books. We've got CDs. We've got T-shirts. And we got a bunch of stuff. I'm sorry I don't say the number throughout the show. I get so caught up with the conversation half the time. But, you know, I let you guys know what the number is in the advertisement. So, anyway, yeah, all you got to do is you got to call in to win. We've given away some great books autographed by the authors as well. I've got some good ones here. And I have to start mentioning that more often, that I have these prizes. Pretty soon, our sponsors, we're going to be giving away $50 gift cards for one of our sponsors that I can tell you off the top of my head, Michael's Arts and Crafts. I can't think of them, guys. I'm so sorry. They're on the website. It's just I'm not ready to talk about them yet. We're not ready to discuss each sponsor, what they do and everything. But I love having Michael's on board. Oh, Gamefly is a good one. That we got that one too. What else? I think that's it. Yeah. So I hope everybody's good. Let's see. What can we close with tonight? I don't want some, you know, I'm tired. There's no way I can play, vehicle tonight. That one usually wakes me. I don't want to wake up. I gotta go to bed. Okay. What do we got? Real quick. Well, you know what? We're talking about empathy. Part of having empathy is being kind, and how people don't have empathy is beyond me. It's something it's in your heart. If you don't have it in your heart, I don't know where you're going to find it. But we need to care about each other. That's all. And put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Yes, no one's happy with what's going on the border, but these people want a better life. If that was you, wouldn't you want to come to America for a better life for your family? I mean, come on. I can't, like I said, it's not stuff that I want to talk about here. So, but I'm ready to blow. I can't take it anymore. So, the YouTube channel may have a lot of that on there. So, anyway, thank you, Dr. Annabelle Bugatti, Dr. Bell. Go check her out, drbell.com. That's B-E-L-L-E for her new book, Using Relentless Empathy in the Therapeutic Relationship. We all need some empathy, folks. You know what? You may need it yourself sometime. You may be in a situation where you need somebody to have empathy for you. So get some empathy. All right. Be kind. Take care. We'll see you on Wednesday the 25th with Alex Angel, Free Psychic Readings. I'm out of here. Have a good night, folks. Stay safe out there. Bye-bye.